Greetings, saints. Many, many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. Father, we ask that you bless us today with wisdom, discernment, warning us of the days to come, giving us direction in them, what we can do for our brethren, etc. Thank you, Lord, for showing us, giving us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I believe I'm going to continue with benefits of the bride because that's what the Lord's message is that the Lord's giving us. And amazing how they all come together. This first article we're going to share is a scorpion attack on the white horse. And this was given to Marlene Laughlin on this October the 1st. 2019. She said, in a dream I saw a white stallion standing and facing a mountain. Well, the white horse, as we've taught from a lot of scripture, is the man-child company that Jesus rides. That's right. When Jesus came, he came in a body of the Son of David, as he proclaimed. He called him the Son of Man, but inside the Son of Man was the Son of God. He took on a body. Well, he is taking on the body of his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the first fruits of them to come to fruition is called the man-child. It's a company of people, not an individual, that are reformers of this day. And this white horse is just like the beginning of judgments in the time of Moses, whereas he brought judgment upon the people. He brought all the other judgments that came on the people. He was the first one who brought the judgments. The white horse is that way too. It's the first judgment. And as judgments came out of Moses' mouth, so they are going to come out of the people who are carrying the Son of God, Jesus Christ, by the Word and by the Spirit. And his attention is upon the mountain, meaning building the kingdom, which is the mountain of God, Jerusalem, the bride. That's who Jesus first built, was the bride, if you noticed. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, those first fruits disciples who were gathered around him that he chose. So it was the man-child and the bride. And so here we got the same thing happening. Merlin said he didn't move at all or turn his head or look at me behind him, even though I felt that he knew I was there. Standing there, I was admiring his whiteness and wondering what he was waiting for, when all of a sudden I saw something red on his left shoulder, moving very slowly, going towards his spine. This is actually the same parable as the dragon through faction seeking to covertly devour the man-child in Revelation 12. This has been happening. We are in the end times. It is happening. And this is just another parable pointing to the same thing, heading towards his spine, this something red here. Well, she goes on to explain, now I'm above the white horse and watching a very large, bright red scorpion, about 12 to 14 inches long. That's a big one. And 2 inches wide, which means when they're that big, uncharacteristically big, it means a corporate body of these people. Okay. It was moving very slowly along the spine. And when it got near the horse's tail, it lashed out with its stinger and jabbed and then stopped. And then I woke up. Of course, this is a warning, okay? So when you take warnings, you can stop things that are in dreams, you know. I could see, it could be, she said, that he was aiming for the spinal column to disable the horse. Well, fat chance. All we got to do is pray against that, because we know it's not scriptural, right? The dragon sought to devour the man-child and failed. And the scorpion is the faction, as was the serpent in Eve's dream that we're going to share below, that came the very next day, as a matter of fact. These things always come together like this. It's God, you know. And in her dream, of course, the serpent's head was that of a dragon. Okay. The old serpent, the dragon, Revelation 12 calls it, right? And it is the devil in a body of people. Okay. A seven head, 10 horned, which represents the whole world of lost humanity, right? Notice that the scorpion strikes behind the back of the man-child, attempting to do its evil in secret. But the man-child body knows it's there, and what it will try in advance, because as Jesus did concerning Judas, he knew he was there. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew he was going to fail, and he knew he was going to be judged. He knew it, and we know it too, because the Lord has revealed it to us ahead of time too. See, history just keeps repeating, you see. So the horse knew that Merlin was there and her revelation. Okay. Now, here's a promise concerning this hidden plot of Satan, which God has revealed ahead of time so that we can pray against it. I hope you take your job seriously and do something about this, right? Because Jesus told us in Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." So here, one day apart, we get a warning about serpents and scorpions. "And over all the power of the enemy," all the power of the enemy, "and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." So let's believe the word and tread down this factious plot. And it's not just here, it's all over the world. The man-child body is a world body, just like the woman in Revelation is a world body, and the beast is a world body. These are world body things. It's a picture, very large picture. In part two of this series, the train was leaving the enemy territory, and a few of our prisoners of war that the faction had taken were coming back and getting on the last train out before judgment fell. So it will soon be too late to escape the judgment that is coming, because God is in control of this judgment. Even though it's coming from and through the deep state, God is in control of it. The middle door of confession in that part two was a confession of sin and a resulting grace, which was shown to be the way out. But sadly, it was being passed up by the faction leader. Okay, we pray that God will still, you know, have grace and have mercy. He gives power. He gives power over sin. He gives power over disgrace. He gives power over shame. He gives power over rejection. He gives power. Pray, okay? So here's Eve's revelation. It's very, very similar. They didn't know each other had these at all, one day apart. And they sent them to me, seeing that they were very important. And we named this Python in the Tree Defeated. And Eve got this on October the 2nd. Eve said, "I dreamed that I was outside of a white brick building that belonged to UBM. Well, that speaks good of the people in UBM, a white brick building. means righteousness and purity, that reminded me of an elementary school. Okay, let me say this. Compared to the coming teachings of the anointed man-child, we are white and purified, but an elementary school. When Jesus came as the anointed man-child in his day, it was that way. They were waiting for him to give more revelation, sanctification, on and on. You see, greater things coming. She said I had a tall, narrow, it had tall, narrow windows, and there were about 2 foot wide and 6 feet wide, 6 feet tall, excuse me. Let me see. Okay, windows, of course, are to be able to see out of. They represent discernment, you know, maybe into the future. In many cases, revelations are that way. Most of them are that way. The sun was shining overhead with a white light. And Eve's note here is, Jesus is the sun that shines his light of truth down upon us. Yes, and he's doing it with these revelations here. He sees what we don't see, and he reveals it to us so that we can do something about it. Okay. There was a well-manicured grounds surrounding the building. That's the UBM building, white UBM building, and small trees planted here and there that were all about 15 to 20 feet tall. My dad, representing the father, she said, came up to me on my right wearing a colorful plaid shirt and carrying a small silver metal pail containing a golden liquid that shimmered. It reminded me of the pail of honey. And she had this in another dream. I'll talk about that in a minute. It reminded her of the pail of honey. Well, let me say, the honey is the word of the man-child. And where did he get it from? Jesus within. Jesus is giving this word to the man-child, just as the Father gave it to Jesus in the body of the Son of David, or the Son of Man, right? And this honey is what the man-child eats to mature. And he also feeds this to the bride, as seen in Isaiah 7, 14 through 20. So let's read that text and see what we can get out of it. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That is, in the Son of David. He is with us. He's coming to first fruits fruition in the Son of David, a spiritual body of David's, not particularly named David. They may not have that name. God uses me a lot because he wants to use a parable, you know, with my name as David and sometimes the man-child David's, you know. But this is a prophecy you will recognize of Jesus. But let me say, the prophecies of Jesus are all going to be repeated. He said so himself in John 16, that he was going to come again in a body of a man-child. And you read all the way from John 16, you get to Revelation 12, and there he is coming in a body of a man. I'm talking about a corporate body of a man-child. So what does it say about this Emmanuel, God with us? We know that the Son of God was the part of Jesus that was God. The seed of the woman is what conquered the devil. The seed of the woman, the seed of David, who came through Mary. Okay, that was the part of him that was physical, you know, that was the son of David, he was called, and the son of man, he was called. The one on the inside was God. God wants to come in us in the same way, because we're called the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? The Son of God lives in the body of Christ. You see, parables are repeated. History repeats over and over. It repeats with larger groups of people. Okay, so what does it say about the birth of this man child? It says, butter and honey shall he eat, when he knoweth to refuse the evil and choose the good. Oh, so this is what enables him to know good from evil, this honey. Okay, it's the word of God. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, refused to the natural man, but given to the spiritual man. Okay. Is it any wonder that Satan's faction wants to steal the honey? So, we see that the man-child feeds on the honey of the Word. And that's how he became the man-child, okay? And again, I'm talking about the man-child of our day in whom Jesus lives. So, you say, they say Revelation 12 is Jesus. No, not physically, because John was told, come up hither and I'm going to show you the things that are come to pass hereafter. It was after John that this revelation is to come to pass. It already happened in the time of Jesus. But he is a type and a shadow of what's happening on a larger scale now. Okay? So, he feeds on the word. Here, verse 16. I'm going to continue with this text, Isaiah chapter 7. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings thou abhorrest, talking to the people of God, shall be forsaken. Well, the two kings were in this chapter, the faction of the northern 10 tribes whose king was Pekah, and the beast of Syria, the local beast, I would call him, not the international beast, but the local beast of Syria, whose king was Rezin, who joined together to overthrow the son of David in Jerusalem, which is the bride. Remember, David ruled from Jerusalem. He was the head of the bride, just as the man-child is the head of the bride today. History repeats. And they wanted to set up their own puppet ruler. They wanted to usurp the authority of the son of David, the man-child. They wanted to do this. This is what the chapter's about. But notice, we just read the part about the coming of the man-child and the anointing of the man-child and the power of the man-child. So, they wanted to set up their own, like the devil. They wanted to rule over the people of God. Isaiah 7, 1 through 9. But the man-child shows up and their evil plan is destroyed. The faction of our day is aligned with the beast and seeking to devour the man-child, as in Revelation 12. And then the woman after that. But the man-child above spoils their evil scheme. And he preserves a remnant bride through the factious treachery, as we see down in verse 22. So I'm going to jump forward just for a minute. 22 says, and it shall come to pass that because of the abundance of milk which they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left, the remnant, in the midst of the land. What happened to the rest of them? They were conquered by the Assyrian world beast. God brought that beast in there to conquer them because they wanted to conquer Judah and Jerusalem and usurp the authority. So the beast, just as we've been preaching all along, here's the parable in full right here in front of us. the deep state is going to attack the apostate Christians here who are in the same situation. Christianity is factioned into different denominations. Then there is the faction itself, which is in the midst of Christianity, that is much more demonically and satanically inspired. Okay, they're like those scorpions and the serpent, right? And so the man-child preserves the woman from the judgment that is going to come on the apostates. So you see the man-child ate the honey, and now this remnant eats the honey. What does he feed? The only thing he can feed is what he is, right? He has partaken of the honey, and he's feeding the honey. Jesus didn't give something away he didn't already have. Neither did any man-child in any generation give something away that they didn't first have themselves. Okay, this disqualifies the kings of the faction and, of course, the beast, the local beast who always came against Israel, right? It came against Judah, too. So these two had joined together, which they are joined together today, to do the exact same thing. They don't know it. They proclaim to be Christian, but their acts prove everything to the opposite. Okay. So back to our original place in the text, verse 17. The Lord will bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day. So here's a repeat of this day he's about to talk about. From the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. Oh, so this is a repeat of history. Yes, that was a repeat he was talking about right there. And it's for us in our generation, as he tells us a little further down. So there's another repeat in our day that's even larger. When Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, departed from Judah, it was because the faction of the northern apostates from Judah and Jerusalem, the bride. They factioned away from Jerusalem, the bride, and David, the house of David. And then it goes on to say, even the king of Assyria. This is the one who is coming to judge Ephraim and coming to judge Syria, the two that are joined together to try to destroy the man, child, and bride. Very interesting. An awesome parable. The honey clued us right into this. And, of course, Assyria was the beast that God brought to conquer them, and they are in the wings waiting right now. And I would say in spirit they have conquered them. You see the goofiness of the left-wing faction in the government, how stupid they are. Those are demons that make them stupid like that. And the same stupidity is in the church, in the faction against the church of God. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, saying, come get them. Come get them. Sick them. So that's those who conquered apostate Israel as a type of the church, and Syria as a type of the local beast, right? And they shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys and in the clefts of the rocks. They're hiding in all kinds of places, but they're going to come out and do their dirty work. And upon all the thorn hedges and upon all the pastures. So let's get back to Eve's revelation here. She said, it reminds me of the pail of honey, she said, that I saw in the Nazi war trench, that the Nazis, the faction, had stolen from the right side mobile home. That's the tabernacle in the wilderness, a mobile home. The right side means the righteous, the righteous were in the right side. The wicked, the faction, was in the left side. And they act like Nazis. And, of course, the parable was very clear and very concise, and tells the truth. So, in this previous dream where the Nazis had stolen the pail of honey from the righteous, and of course this is exactly what happened, because they stole our sight, our videos, and money. But Father is returning everything better than before. Praise God. So you see, it's history. Only history repeats, because God is on the throne and he wants us to know what's going to happen. And all you got to do is study what's happened in the past, and you will know what's going to happen in the future, because it cannot fail one time to repeat. So see Zechariah 9:3 below, and we'll see some more of this, okay? And Eve said this could represent that Father is giving us power to defeat the plans of the enemy and turning the tide for us and restoring what the devil has stolen from us, including some of our brethren that were taken captive, as it describes below in Zechariah chapter 9, 9 through 12, right? And yes, I will say it is happening. It's so amazing to watch history repeat, because God's in control. My dad, representing the Father, handed me the pail. That's that pail of honey. And a 3-inch wide small paintbrush, and took me over to a tree near the UBM building. And this is the factious family tree, you know, which slanders the saints and especially me. And pointed up in the branches, calling my attention to a python coiled up in one of the upper branches. Now, the python demon at the top heads up the faction and has joined together other factions into this family tree, as I was told by the Lord that this would happen years ago. He even told me who was going to bring them all together. He told me that years ago, and it came to pass. So, I mean, you know the Sennacherib scenario, the Jehoshaphat scenario, the Red Sea scenario, and on and on. The parables that the Lord has given us about which is going to happen, which is they're going to fail miserably. They gather together to destroy Jerusalem, the bride, and the man-child, and they are destroyed. So the python represents a false prophetic demon that deceives those who would hear the gospel. In this case, from Paul in Acts 16 and 16. And it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid, having a spirit of divination, your Bibles may have it, mine has it, the Greek note here for spirit of divination is a spirit, a python. Python. It's a strong delusional spirit. Met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Of course, Paul rebuked the demon out of her, and she did not hinder the gospel anymore. So Paul conquered this python spirit and the soothsayer that was possessed by it. And I asked Father for a text by faith at random for the python and the golden liquid that my dad gave me to paint the tree with. And my finger was on Zechariah 9 and 3, and in context, 3 through 13. So let's read that. And Tyre did build herself a stronghold. So this is by faith at random, the Lord gave her this text. And Tyre did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Well, I've shared before for many years that Tyre was a type of a rich island in the sea, a type of the United States, and its apostate religious people. Christianity in the United States is anything but Christianity. It just takes a little bit of time to sit down and read the Bible, and you'll find that out. because apostasy is a falling away from what? From the Word of God. All right. Verse 4, behold, the Lord will dispossess her. Interesting word there. And he will smite her power in the sea. Yep, you take the demons out of them, and it does smite the power, right? And she shall be devoured with fire. And so it shall be. The Lord will dispossess her of the demonic / python-led apostates. Okay. Ashkelon, okay, these are all Philistine cities, right? Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also, and shall be sore pained. Well, these are the apostates who have warred against the people of God, for goodness sake, you know. These are go back far enough, brethren who factioned against their brethren, you know. Ekron and her expectation shall be put to shame, and the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited, and a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. When these demons enter into people, they are full of pride. They submit to nobody. They don't submit to authority. They are full of sin and hatred and anyway, apostates who turned away from the religion of their fathers and turned Judas against their brothers and were conquered, as it will be in the U.S. today. Verse 7, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth. Oh, okay, so what's going to happen to this faction? He's taking the blood out of his mouth. You know, speaking blood represents speech that is guilty of the death of souls, as it is with the faction and other apostates. And his abominations from between his teeth. So these are abominable words that devour, like teeth do, like the dragon in Revelation 12. And he also shall be a remnant for our God. And he shall be a chieftain in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. So these false leaders were conquered by David, the man-child, when he conquered Jebus, the Jebusites, which he made into Jerusalem, the bride, right? Conquered the old man so the new man could rule. Amen? Same thing's going to happen to the faction. And I will encamp about my house against the army, that none pass through or return, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes. The Lord sees the evil that has been done to his people by the faction, and he's going to do something about it. And next thing he says in verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation. This is the man-child, right? Lowly, riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So history is going to repeat. It is repeating. Jesus is coming in the man-child Davids, who are merely beasts of burden. They don't claim any credit for this as humans, you know. The power comes from the Jesus who lives on the inside, because they devoured the honey, the Word of God, and because the anointing will come upon that Word. And that's how Jesus lives in them, not in a physical way, but because of the anointing and the Word of God. That's how Jesus lives in this man-child today. And they're beasts of burden in this particular text in order to carry him into the midst of Jerusalem, the bride. Who did Jesus teach first? John the Baptist said the bride. And who brought Jesus himself? And that was John the Baptist. That's repentance. Repentance will bring Jesus And Jesus is being brought to the first fruits among the people, which is the bride. Interesting how everything just works out so beautifully. How the scriptures is a wonderful parable to teach us so many good things. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. That's the faction of God's people who went off and worshiped the golden calf and made preachers out of people that weren't ordained. Right? And that's exactly what the faction does. And the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. He's going to cut off this battle that's come against his people. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. That's speaking of our day, to the ends of the earth, right? And as for thee also, because of the blood of the covenant, of thy covenant, I have set free thy prisoners from the pit. Well, just think about who it was, because of the blood of the covenant, that Jesus did throughout history, raised up man-child bodies of people who came out of prison to rule. Joseph, Daniel, Jeremiah, Jesus, the man-child. All of these types of the man-child in their day, they were the first fruits ordained of God, coming delivered from the pit in order to preach the truth. And the pit wherein is no water, it says. Yeah, there is no water out there. The people are dying for lack of water, the washing of the water with the word. The man-child is going to speak the honey, going to feed the woman the honey. He's going to feed the bride the honey first, and then the woman is going to be fed by the bride. Turn you to the stronghold, Jerusalem, obviously. You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Yes, he's going to bless the people who are delivered from the factions of around the world, because these people are coming to the bride. For I have bent Judah for me. I have filled the bow with Ephraim. That's the remnant that returns, you see. And I will, not all of Ephraim, because they don't all return, but a remnant does return. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. You remember the Grecian Empire, one of the beast kingdoms that gives us a type in our day? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, all of these beasts that conquered God's people when they fell into apostasy, as we are today. And will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. Yes. And that happened. The peoples who return to the Lord will conquer the beast. And that's Jesus' job. He is raising up people to conquer the beast, just as he did. And he speaks about Ezekiel 28, how it describes Satan as the king of Tyre, which he is. Have you noticed that the government that is now being kicked out, the deep state with their elite, are all Satanists? And even their head religions are Satanists, you know? And they're bringing them down. He's the king of Tyre. He had to take over the head in order to rule the body. I wrote this in Hidden Manna. And this was before all this happened. And this satanic coven that rules through the deep state is Satan's work. So, Ezekiel 28:11-19 is what she was given. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Yes, they think they're very wise. You think they know everything, and they almost do with the NSA and the intelligence agency. They know a lot, but their wisdom is totally corrupted. And so now Trump is fighting against all of that. And he just kicked out the CIA from the White House. and has declared on October the 19th a state of emergency, and his training paratroopers and Marines to defend the Republic from the deep state. And on the 17th is when the deep state banksters run out of money and either have to continue to print or fold. So you see that just 2 days later, he's prepared for them. You see, yeah, but it's going to be trouble. Okay. And thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Who is that? The devil. The king of Tyre is the devil. Every precious stone was thy covering, and the sardis, and the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was in thee. In the day that thou wast created, they were prepared. Thou wast the anointed cherub. There you go. The devil that covereth. And I set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways, in thy ways, from the day that thou wast created until unrighteousness was found in thee. And by the abundance of thy traffic, they filled the midst of thee with violence, like Satan in the deep state has done. Money, money. They don't mind killing, making world wars and killing lots of people to make an offering to their god Satan for power. It ain't working anymore because the real God is ruling over Satan. Okay, but the same parallel is in the faction, in the church. They're killing people with their slander. But the Lord is going to bring them to the same end. Their ruler is still Satan. Okay? And thou hast shined. Therefore have I cast thee as profane out of the mountain. Excuse me, sinned. I sinned. Therefore have I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I have destroyed thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Well, that's pride, you know. Pride is the major contributor, along with rejection, of the faction in the church. People seeking a position of authority over others, eager to rule over people that they've not been given that authority from God, etc. Just like Satan, who wanted to sit on the mount of the congregation, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how he does it. He uses people. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I have cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Well, you know what? They are seeing the corruption of faction in the deep state and the church now, these kings, right? Around the world, they're beholding this crazy stupidity and absolute corruption and moral depravity in these people who are filled with Satan. It's the same in the faction in the church. Same demons. Verse 18, by the multitude of thine iniquities, in the uprightness of thy traffic, thou hast profaned thy sanctuaries. Oh, yeah, you can just look at them and tell they've profaned theirs. They don't mind any kind of lie or corruption or whatever. They're all perverted and sick. Therefore have I brought forth a fire from the midst of thee. It hath devoured thee. And I have turned thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. This is talking about the destruction of the factions that's in progress. And they that know thee among the peoples shall be astonished at thee. Thou art become a terror, and thou shalt never more have any being. Yes, he is going to smite the serpent that is in the midst of the sea, as Isaiah said. The sea being the people. He's going to smite it. Yes. So let's go back to Eve's dream here. He told me to paint the entire trunk of the tree so that the python could not slither down the tree and attack any of us. That is UBM. Okay, so putting the honey on the tree is to stop the python because he couldn't crawl over the honey. You see, can't touch the honey. And they don't. They don't touch the honey. I asked Father what painting the tree trunk with the golden liquid, the honey, represented, and my finger was under the phrase, "Order my prayer unto thee and will keep watch." In Psalm 5 and 3, and in the context 1 through 12. So verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee do I pray. O Lord, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice, and in the morning will I order my prayer unto thee and will keep watch." So prayer, again, prayer, exercising your authority in prayer. You see what the scripture says will happen to the apostates. And whose job is that? Well, prophets spoke it in the past, and they're doing it now. And it's coming to pass because it's being spoke right now. We're speaking it right now. It will come to pass. It has to first be spoken, and then it comes to pass. It's happening. So, the prayer of the righteous to bring to naught the old serpent ruling the apostates will be heard by the Father. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Evil shall not sojourn with thee. The arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou wilt destroy them that speak lies. The Lord abhorreth the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Oh, that's a pretty good description of the faction. "But as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house. In thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth." True. "Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher." True. Just as it was in Jesus' day, you know. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, their throat was an open sepulcher. And they were factioning against their brother, Jesus. Remember, Joseph's brothers is the one that threw him into prison. And Jesus, of course, went and visited his souls in prison. They flattered with their tongue. They do that. They think you believe in everything they're saying, but you're not. You know better. You've already had a history of what they do. They're deceivers. "Hold them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Trust them. Thrust them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." Yes, they don't know. They think they're just dealing with men. And they don't respect God's men. And they don't respect God. Because Jesus said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me." Yeah. "But let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Yes, amen. "For thou wilt bless the righteous, O Lord. Thou wilt compass him with favor as with a shield." Yes, he will. So painting the factious family tree with the golden liquid represents conquering. This is Eve's words, her note here. Painting the factious family tree with the golden liquid represents conquering them with the word or honey in prayer and keeping watch, right? That the word or honey is fulfilled, right? We speak the word, we stand behind it, we believe it, and it's fulfilled. How many of you know that the word doesn't do anything as long as it sits on that page, you know? It's when you put it in your heart and your mouth that it brings salvation, as the Bible says. And the word above against the enemy is fulfilled by faith, prayer, and warfare. People think, oh, it's been in the word. It's going to come to pass. No, it comes to pass when people act on it, right? Will history happen? Always. It always happens. If God can't use you as a vessel of honor, he'll use you as a vessel of dishonor. But he will fulfill his word. He will find someone who will believe and act on his word. He will. So Eve said, so I began to paint the tree trunk, and as I did, the golden liquid turned transparent so that it was hard to see where I had painted over already. Yep. That tree, you can paint over and paint over and paint over it, you know. And, you know, lots and lots of word has been thrown at the faction, and they totally ignore it. But pay attention to what happens now. My thought was the word of the sun, SUN/SON, shone through the tree. So, she said, I just began to slather it with even going over where I'd already painted so that I didn't miss any spots. So he's, and truly, we have covered with the word all of the wickedness of the faction. And we've covered it with prayer and spiritual warfare in agreement with the word. Because if you're not in agreement with the word, guess what? Your words just fall to the ground, right? Then I looked up into the tree and saw the python's underbelly about 6 inches down from its head sticking out from the branch. So I climbed up the tree trunk a little ways and reached up and slathered some of that golden liquid onto its underbelly. Well, let me say, Satan's demons cannot handle the word of God. It defeats them, you know. It's kind of like the water on the Wicked Witch, right? It shrivels her up to nothing. Ah! You remember that? Dorothy looked on. It began to scream in agony because they hate the word of God. They hate the word of God. The faction hates the word of God. They totally ignore you if you show them the word of God. They ignore you. It began to scream in agony and writhe around as it became stuck to the paintbrush. And it shrunk very quickly, like the Wicked Witch when the water hit her. And as it shrunk, its voice and scream became higher in pitch, almost like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the head of the tree of the faction here, and it's a big demon. It became the size of a worm stuck on its back on my brush and became white in color as all the color drained out of it. I noticed that now it had the head of a Chinese dragon. So, now we know who is the head of the python, right? The dragon. Remember the dragon? What did he want to do? Devour the man, child, and the woman, right? So, the dragon is the head of the faction python. The devil is the dragon, declared in Revelation 12. It cast down a third of the stars, who are as Abraham's seed, as you know. It sought to devour the man-child reformers, but was cast down by the saints using the honey. Let me read it to you. Revelation 12, 3 through 11. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the seven world-ruling kingdoms that conquered God's people. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome, etc. And ten horns, that's the ten continental divisions of the earth. All of mankind, all of lost mankind is in this dragon. The body of the dragon is these lost mankind. He lives in them. Okay. And upon his heads, seven diadems. And his tail draweth a third part. The prophet that speaketh lies is the tail, Isaiah declared. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So the faction and factions, I call the factions the denominations that departed from the Bible's Christianity, and the faction, which is the worst of all of them because it's totally demonically inspired, not just stupid, but demonically inspired and empowered, and did cast them to the earth. Their position in the heavenlies was lost. The people that listened to these slanderous, lying words from the faction were lost. Like the prodigal son, this my son was dead and is now alive. They were dead, lost. You can't have unforgiveness and be saved. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you are not saved. Everybody out there, I hope you pay attention because Jesus backs me up on this. And did cast them to the earth. Yes, as soon as they got unforgiveness, they lost their salvation and their position in the heavenlies with Christ. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered of the man-child, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. That's the man-child. And these are the dragon. The faction people are the dragon, and they are seeking to devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. That's dominion and authority. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her, that is the man-child, because now the man-child has come to dominion because of the anointing, just like it happened with Jesus, like it happened with Moses, like it has happened with Joseph, etc., etc. All these are types and shadows of the end-time man-child. That they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years, which is 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, was just like that. He was the man-child. They sought to destroy him. They sought to devour him. But all they did was make him stronger because he was freed from that body to rule. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. Yes, those are fallen angels. We call them demons. Sorry, some people don't have that doctrine, but it's right there. And they prevail not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They lost their dominion. The man-child was caught up to the throne. They were cast out of heaven. That's kind of like Haman losing his place and Mordecai taking it. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of what? The whole world. He's deceived the whole world. They are a part of his body now. He devoured them. They became a part of his body. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. They lost their dominion in their place of the prince of the power of the air, etc. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. for the accuser of our brethren. There's nobody on this earth that accuses more than the faction. Nobody's closer to Satan than they are. They are the accuser of the brethren. That's what slander is, you see. To try to destroy someone's reputation so that they can't be helpful in the kingdom, right? The accuser of our brethren is cast down, right? The very nature of faction is slander, okay? Who accuseth them before our God day and night. Yes, they do. And they overcame him, here it is, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. Here is the people who are conquering the faction, conquering the dragon. The angels, of course, are doing the heavy lifting. They bring to pass the word of God that comes out of the mouth of God's people. That's what they do. Psalm 103. They bring it to pass. They wait until you agree with the word. And when you agree with the word, they go forth and do war. So when you take your authority over these corrupt things, they go forth in war. Again, he speaks about concerning this dragon turned to nothing by the honey. This text came to me. They that see thee shall gaze at thee, they shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Now, he's in pretty poor shape now. And they're thinking, you did this? You know, thinking, you know, how could this be? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? And this is in Isaiah 14 and 16. And we'll give the text, 12 through 23. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning, Satan? How art thou cut down to the ground, that didst lay low the nations? And thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You see what Satan in a body seeks to do? This is Satan. And, he attempts to use faction to exalt his throne above the stars of God. But the faction are all fallen stars, you see. And they attempt to faction the bride and take down a third of the stars. And they have taken down a lot of people. I mean, around the world, they've taken down a lot of people. But these have all lost their souls. Some of these could repent and return to their former glory. As we've learned from many revelations from the Lord, the leadership usually does not recover. It's the people who were deceived by the leadership that do recover. I'm not saying always, I'm just saying most of the time. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. So Satan wants to be the ruler over God's congregation. And that's why he's using these usurpers to try to slander the true leadership, to remove them out of the way. You remember David Wilkerson's prophecy about this? A slander war that Satan was going to use against the leadership of God. It's on the front of our site. And it was true, and it did come to pass, and it is coming to pass. And in the uttermost parts of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. Fat chance, Satan, and fat chance, slanderers. See, by slandering, judging, and condemning the righteous leaders by faction, as David Wilkerson prophesied, calling in a slander war from Satan. And yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. They thought they were going to be the heads of the congregation, but nope, God says, nope, you're going down to the pit. And they that see thee shall gaze at thee. They shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and overthrew the cities thereof, that let not loose his prisoners to their home? Well, now, he's clearly talking about spirits. Why? Where's the man come in? Because Satan takes on the body of men, as we saw from the beginning of this text. Just as God takes on the body of men too. You know, these are two different camps, obviously. The factious prisoners have lost their way home, you know. They wouldn't let loose his prisoners to their home. It kept them in deception. And God is going to deal with them. Verse 18, all the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast forth away from thy sepulcher like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit. So this man, who is inhabited by Satan, destroyed his own people. An abominable branch, clothed with the slain, as a dead body trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Thou hast slain thy people. You know, stop and think about it. What has the deep state done? Exactly this. Why? Because they are a body of Satan. They're Satanists all the way up to the top, along with the Pope. Yep. They've all been joined together in the same child sacrifice stuff. It's all out there. Anybody can go look and find out about it, you know, very clearly. But this is what they've tried to do. Take over God's people by their own lusts. But he called them, a seed of evildoers shall not be named forever. Prepare ye slaughter for his children and for the iniquity of their fathers, that they rise not up and possess the earth. Yes, so bring down the deep state, dear Lord. Bring down the faction in both the government and in the church, Lord, because they seek to destroy your people and they seek to destroy the kingdom of God. But they will fail because you are God and you sit on the throne and you work all things after the counsel of your own will. And even though you use these people to crucify the saints, when they're through with their crucifying, you judge them just as you did Judas. And fill the face of the world with cities. Rise not up, so that they rise not up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. He doesn't want them to progenitor other people. And just like the time of the flood came to stop these wicked people from raising up centuries of their wickedness through their seed. And I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon, America, whose god was Bel, by the way, Bel, the dragon or serpent. You know, that was their god. I'll cut off from Babylon name and remnant and son and son's son, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine. You know the porcupine. Don't get close to it or it'll stab you, right? And pools of water. I will sweep it with the besom or broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. This is his plan. This is what he's going to do. So I climbed down the tree trunk and carried it over to an open area where the sun was shining. That is the dragon serpent on or dragon python on the paintbrush. And there were a few UBMers standing in this area wondering what all the noise and commotion was about the screaming demon, because he couldn't stand the word, right? And it was still squealing as I threw it down on the grass, still stuck to the paintbrush. And she gives Ezekiel 28:17, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I have cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So, the Word of God, they can't stand it. I can tell you times when I've been preaching the Word of God and the demon screamed out of people. They hated it. They hate the Word of God. So let me say this, saints. Please join us in spiritual warfare to cast down the plot of the enemy. Revelation 12:10 says, "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night." And this is the nature of faction. That's what they do, accuse. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death." Okay, so it's very interesting. We got some encouraging words about this. I'll just share a few of them with you. This first one we called Covering Our Distant Friends and Relatives. Vanessa Weeks got this on September the 17th, this 2019. "In this dream, I was standing in a large room with a few other women, and we were all in evening gowns. I could only see the back of the women in front of me, and we were all looking out of a door or window. I believe this represents the bride receiving revelation, because you're able to see beyond your house," right? Your house is, of course, this body, right? "And in the distance were many trees, like a forest." Trees are often represent in the scriptures people. The tree we just mentioned is the family tree. It represents a group of people. Babylon had its family tree, right? In Daniel. "I watched as a cloud-like substance went straight in front of us to the forest area. I said, Wow, I did not know our covering could do that." Now, when you say things like this in a dream, it's like a revelation, you see. So you might have thoughts after the dream that are maybe false thoughts, bad interpretation or whatever. Usually the thoughts you have in the dream are something that God wants you to pay attention to, right? "And as I was waking up, I thought of Father covering the people who are distant from us, especially our loved ones." Well, you know, this judgment is almost upon us here. And this is a good thing to do. And it's a good thing to know by revelation that you can do this. Okay? Through faith, in prayer, and in spiritual warfare, we can cover those that we've been believing to come into the kingdom, or those that are walking in apostasy out there that we're believing for and praying for. Remember, you're to believe you have received, right? As Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Mark 11:24. Have you prayed for these people? You prayed for your family? Don't worry. Yes, you see this coming. You see that they are in apostasy, but you're praying for them, that they're going to live through this and learn and know better. A great revival's coming after this judgment. A great revival. Who gets revival? People that need it. And they live through it too. Why? Somebody prayed for them. Why did you get saved? Somebody prayed for you. And so Vanessa said, I received by faith at random Joshua 22:1. In context, Joshua 22:1-4. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Well, these are the distant family members, the Transjordanic tribes of Israel that settled on the other side of the Jordan while the rest of Israel crossed over. Now, they crossed over with them to make war against their enemies, and when they conquered their enemies, they went back to where they were. But they were saved too. Isn't it interesting that she's asking for a revelation that our covering could cover distant relatives? And here they are, distant relatives, and by faith at random. Don't tell me it don't work, folks. If you got faith, it works. Okay? And said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. That's the Transjordanic tribes, right? And have hearkened unto my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. They were warring for them, their brethren, on the other side of the Jordan to conquer their lands. And then they were going to go back to their own. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now, the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he spake unto them. Therefore now turn ye and get you unto your tents, unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan. Pretty specific answer there. She said, the cloud in the dream reminded me of the cloud that went before the children of Israel. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. So I asked the Lord, what can we believe our covering to do for our loved ones? And I received by faith at random Matthew 13:44. And my finger was on the word parable in the heading of the ESV called The Parable of the Hidden Treasure. Quote, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. There's the covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, she said, in this parable, the treasure is covered up, so no one can get it. I never realized this, but I believe the Lord is saying in answer to my question that we can believe for our loved ones who are in the world or acting like it, for the blood of our Passover lamb to cover them from the death angel until they are brought out of it. Yes, amen. And you know, it was said to be a lamb for a household, quote unquote, in that Exodus chapter 12 Passover text. It was a lamb for a household. Do you believe in household salvation? Well, start doing it. You might see some people get saved. Thank you, Father. As the blood of the Passover lamb covers us, we ask you to cover our loved ones that are your elect,
Thank you for your promise of household salvation and the Psalm 91 Passover. In Jesus' name, amen. And that was Vanessa's prayer. And she gives this verse, Psalm 91, 1 through 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, that's a confession of faith, a good confession given in the sight of many witnesses, right? For He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. There it is. It's coming. Goes on to talk about it further down, too. He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. Yes, amen. So, pray. The heavens are open. God's ears are listening. Michael Harris said, the Lord told me last night, that was 10/4/19, the heavens are opened for your prayers. Pray for family, friends, and pray for President Trump. Now, all these things came from different directions. Nobody knew until we all got together and started discussing it that all of these things fit together. This is what happens to us quite a bit. It's neat the way God does that. And then Michael said, He gave me Psalm 102 and 18 in context. Here it is, 16-22. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. Where is His glory? It's in Zion, in the temple, in Zion. His presence is in Zion. He's chosen this for His house, right? He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Again, this is clearly saying what Michael received, you know. The heavens are open for your prayers. Pray for family, friends, and pray for President Trump. That's what he was told. This shall be written for the generation to come. Well, that's us. See, all that back there was written for us, folks, whether you know it or not. The people that are being addressed by this psalm, for instance, are so many more people than they were back in the day that it was spoken. You can tell who it was for, right? And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Amen. We shall do it. For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary from heaven, did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner. So do you give groanings like that it speaks of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. Right? You groan to the Lord in the Spirit. To those that are appointed unto death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. See, the bride is filled with the presence of God, as Jerusalem was filled with the presence of God, the temple of God. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. So, Eve also had a revelation. Eve Brast. She said, I had a dream this morning that my prodigal son returned to me and repented wearing baby blue. In other words, he put on heavenly garments, right? And it was right before a massive storm with a hurricane/tornado that hit. We know what this storm is about. It's not a physical hurricane. It is a judgment from the deep state beast against the apostates and the factious. Now, let me say, they're against America. But I got to tell you, all of the nature of the deep state is totally anti-Christian. They hate Christians the most. First of all, they're Satanists. Number two, they are communists, you know. Some people say socialists, but I say, no, you don't understand. Socialism is just the door into communism, because when they get authority, it will be communism. Okay. And Islam, they are intrigued with the spirit of Islam, because it's the same spirit that they have, the spirit of murder. And the faction has, which is a spirit of murder. This is the birds of a feather flock together. So these three great entities in the earth, who is their greatest enemy? Yes, they want to destroy Christianity. They want to do that. And they've got all three of those spirits driving them to destroy Christianity. But God is going to direct this to take down the people he wants taken down. Because there's not a worse representation of Christianity than we've seen out there that proclaims to be Christian and is not. When you read the Bible, we find out what Christianity is about and what it is and what is its nature and what they believe and what they do. And you just can't blame most Christians for being true Christians, right? So Eve's prayers were heard for her son, who was saved from this. Amen. Praise God. We were both in my house praying and looking out the window at all the other houses around us being destroyed, but ours was preserved without any damage. And she got a big smiley face there. Yes, exercise your faith. You know, take this exhortation. You know, the heavens are open. God is listening. He wants to save people. He always loves to save people. He needs your faith. You have not because you ask not. Right? And she said, the verse I received by faith at random was Ezra 8 and 25. With my finger on the phrase, weighed unto them the silver and the gold. Huh. Weighed unto them the silver and the gold. In context, Ezra 8, 24 through 28. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God. Who is the house of God? It's people. It's not buildings. And, of course, if they build a building over there in the Middle East, God won't inhabit it, because he doesn't inhabit houses made by men's hands, he says. So it's people, the house of God. We are the house of God. We are the temple of God, as Paul said. Okay? And these are to build the house of God. That is, build us all together into a holy temple in the Lord, as the Bible tells us, right? Which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents, also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also. The silver and the gold are a free will offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. So all of this abundance is coming to the bride to build the house of God, who is escaping the judgment of the storm that the deep state is bringing against it, just as Eve saw. In a vision in 2007, I was given $1 billion to provide for God's people. The Father was giving it to me in a refuge from a great judgment that was going on the outside, and the people were flooding onto the property to escape the judgments on the outside. And he'd give me $1 billion for them to take care of them. And it's going to happen. So this is obviously, this money is coming to build the house of God. And Cyrus is here, who is going to start the building of the house of God and even supply the money for the house of God. You watch. You'll figure it out soon enough. I don't have to cover it right now, but it's going to happen. And, of course, you know, Eve and her son were in a place of safety from this great storm that was coming. And so now you can see what that, how that worked out. Let me say this morning, you know, before I put all this together this morning, we received a bunch of texts in our morning prayer meeting that will astound you of the sovereignty of God. And they were, it was judgment upon the apostate people of God time after time. So listen to these. Deb said, I got 16 from the center column reference. She put her finger down on the center column reference on 16. Jeremiah 18, 15 through 17 in context. For my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to false gods. They have been made to stumble in their ways. In ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, in a way not cast up. This is what has happened to the people of God. There is a great apostasy. They don't even try to be a representation of Christ and his works. Nor do they believe it's possible, because their leaders have not had what they needed to give to the people. They just passed on a religion, that's all. 16, to make their land an astonishment and a perpetual hissing, every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and shake his head. I was saying when this verse was spoken this morning, I said, when I was young, the heathen respected Christianity. They respected Christians. They knew it was right because they respected them. And I haven't seen that in many, many years. I mean, they are shaking their head just like this text. Verse 17, I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. God is about to judge what we falsely call Christianity. And thank God, at least this will be out of the way when the tribulation starts. And Matthew Stewart got Ezekiel 6, 2 through 7. Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy unto them and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to the mountains and to the hills, to the watercourses and to the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, their idolatrous high places, and your altars shall become desolate, and your sun images shall be broken. You know how many images they have of the sun that don't look like the sun? And I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead bodies of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around about your altars. And in all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, and your altars, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your sun images may be hewn down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Don't say the Lord won't do this anymore. He did this as a type and a shadow of what he will do. Leon got Psalm 68:21, but God will smite through the head of his enemies. Oh, there it is, the head of his enemies. The hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his guiltiness. In other words, you know, the last time an offer was made of grace for confession of sin, and of course it was ignored. They goeth on in their guiltiness. Merlin got Jeremiah 46:15-17. Why are thy strong ones swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to stumble. Yea, they fell one upon another. And they said, Arise, let us go again to our own people and to the land of our nativity. From the oppressing sword, they cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath let the appointed time pass by. Yep. Going to Egypt won't help either, will it? Nope. Brandy got Zechariah 14:12-14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. The plague? What have we been telling you? This exact thing right here. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their sockets. Their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. He's going to judge all of these. Now, we know what this was naturally speaking, but God's warning us to see the judgment he's going to bring upon those people who have warred against Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. They shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And this reminds us of Jehoshaphat's war, when three armies came against him, and the Lord did just this. And we got that text many times concerning what was going to happen with the faction and what was going to happen in these end times in what we've been calling the Red Sea experience, the judgment of the wicked. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel and great abundance. There it is again. And Debbie got Luke 1:51-55. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones. He hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry he hath filled with good things. That means people that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, right? He hath filled with good things. And the rich he hath sent away empty. Yeah, you know the rich. They take advantage of you and so on and so forth. He hath given help to Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy. And as he spoke to our fathers toward Abraham and his seed forever. And Barry got Jonah 2:7-9. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Yeah, you give ear to a liar, you will lose your mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And Missy got Proverbs 15:26 in context, 26-33. Amen. Evil devices are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth bribes shall live. Look how many people have been caught up in the bribery of the deep state, Republicans and Democrats, and are now being caught for their criminalities, right? Well, same thing's happening in the faction. But he that hateth bribes shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. When you get in trouble, the plague is spreading. Antifa's out there rolling heads, and ISIS is too, and things like this are happening. And you cry to God. Won't it be great if you're righteous when you cry to God? Because he'll hear your prayer. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good tidings make the bones fat. The ear that hearkeneth to the reproof of life shall abide among the wise. He that refuseth correction despiseth his own soul. You cannot correct someone who has the factious spirit. Can't happen. They will never accept any rebuke, correction. They won't even accept guilt for what you know they've done. And they know they've done, but they're not going to accept it. But he that hearkeneth to reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goeth humility. So this automatically says that they're going to fail. And Judy got Zechariah 8:6-8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and in righteousness. So, saving a remnant and bringing them back, right? And Don Laughlin, Revelation 22:10-11. And he saith unto me, seal not up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And we were talking about this morning. Well, he said the time was at hand so many, many years ago. But he was talking about the time is at hand in the context of what is happening here in Revelation 22, right? That time is at hand. Now, we're coming to that time. And he that is unrighteous, let him do unrighteousness still. And he that is filthy, let him be made filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him do righteousness still. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about a people who are reprobate, and a people that are righteous and are getting only better, right? And Joe got Psalm 129:1-8. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up, let Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it groweth up. Wherewith the reaper filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth the sheaves his bosom. Neither do they that go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So it speaks about the faction being judged, right? Shay got this, Shalanda. Luke 11:5-13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Wow, that's a good word, isn't it? The Lord wants us to know that He'll answer our prayers. Don't give up. You know, if you can't stand in Mark 11:24, believing you have received, keep knocking. God will give you faith. Ask Him for faith, matter of fact. Everyone that knocketh, the door shall be opened, and he that seeketh shall find. Ask, and it will be given to you, right? And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone, or a fish, and he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? There's scorpions and serpents already at the beginning and at the end of this revelation. Isn't that interesting? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So if you ask the Father, Father, I don't want a serpent or a scorpion. What he's saying is he wants to give you good gifts. He doesn't want this for you, right? So, Father, we do ask your mercy upon your people. We do ask that you give us an open heaven, and that your people be impressed to take this opportunity to come to you by faith for themselves, for their friends, for their relatives, and believe you to turn them around and save them through this judgment, so that the revival that follows this judgment will be able to touch them, and they can grow quickly and enter the kingdom of God as it is written in the scriptures. Lord, put this impression into the hearts of your people to pray and to believe and to stand and to give thanks and praise to you for answers. Thank you so much for doing this, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that our brethren that were deceived and taken into captivity as prisoners of war be set free in the name of Jesus, Father, to get on the last train out of that evil territory. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you grant them grace to repent, to turn to you, that you open their understanding, that you give them a moment of sanity so that they can make a decision for you and you accept that. We ask it in Jesus' name, that for a revival in their midst, Lord. You speak about scattering them. Well, nothing could scatter them more than if some Christians came in their midst. Lord, we ask that you would grant repentance to some who see that they've fallen into every kind of corruption. No doubt, to bring humility into their life, to bring shame into their life. When the Apostle Paul came to shame, because he was murdering the people of God too, he worked so much harder at saving them. He wanted to make up for the evil that he had done. Lord, I pray that there's some Pauls that will come out of this faction, Lord. I ask it in the name of Jesus, that they will repent of this great evil that they have done, that the scripture clearly delineates. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to do this. Lord, we cast down the scorpion attack. We have authority. Our Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions." And we cast this down in the name of Jesus, and we forbid it in Jesus' name. And we pray too, Lord, you said that anybody who lays a trap will fall into it themselves. That's your words, Lord. We put our trust in you. We thank you that the enemy will fall into their own traps, their own snares, their own pits, as you've spoken in the word. Thank you, Father, for delivering your people who these predators have taken advantage of, delivering your people from their midst, Lord, to return unto you in joy of your salvation. Thank you so much, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And also for the serpent, the python in the tree that's defeated by the word of God. We speak the word of God. We curse that python in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to die in Jesus' name. Like the serpent that was cast into the fire, shook off in the fire. Thank you, Father, you have come against this demonic leadership in the top of this tree. You brought it down in Jesus' name. They're in your hand. They only fulfill your will, Lord, because you are sovereign. And the people of God have been delivered from all of this. You have given us authority to tread on the serpents and the scorpions, and they are under our feet. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the victory, Father. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Lord, bring conviction to anyone who is in that cult, anyone that's in that satanic, ritualistic, depraved situation, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, grant repentance to all of your elect there, Lord. Do a mighty work among them. Set the captives free. We love them. We pray for them all of the time. They don't want us to say that. They ask us even to stop praying for them. You know, they're just so arrogant. Well, we just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you set them free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your mighty mercy and your grace. It's going to be shown mightily to your people. A great revival is coming. A great many signs and wonders and miracles is coming. Just as it was in the days of Jesus, the man-child, it will be repeated around the world in the body of the man-child in our day. Signs and wonders and miracles. And yet, can you imagine the faction in the leadership in Jerusalem and round about in Israel when Jesus was doing these things? They called it of the devil. Can you imagine? He said it was of the devil. I can imagine it now. I can see it now. I wondered how that could be, but I can see it now. I can understand it now. After going through the things I've gone through with these people, they're totally backward in everything. Father, we ask you to give that sanity, to cause them to escape, because even the signs and wonders that confirm the word of your disciples will not change them unless you have given grace, Lord. So we ask that you do that, Father, that you give grace, give mercy, have mercy on the people, our relatives, Lord, who we have talked to. And about you, Lord, and hoped, you know, that they would turn towards you. We ask that you give grace, Lord, and bring them in quickly. Save them from these things. And we ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. Deliver the souls of our friends and the people we've stood for years in faith. Honor our faith, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, grant grace. Pour forth your grace, Lord. Let the revival begin even in the midst of this foolishness, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that the deep state is going to judge apostate Christianity, but then they're going to meet their Red Sea, Lord. their Red Sea destruction. And I pray, Lord, that you save people from among them too, to be a witness of what actually is happening. I mean, they deny everything, just like the vaccine. They deny everything that they have done, and they blame you for the very thing that they have done. Every time. Every time. The politicians are figuring this out. They're saying they're blaming Trump for everything that they have done. It is ludicrous. But that's what they do, and that's what they do in the faction and in the church too. So we thank you, Father, that this foolishness will be seen for what it is, and that you will bring repentance to many souls. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, thank you for joining us today, and God bless you and keep you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good night.